Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Let us clap for the melons. Hallelujah. Wow, what a song. Amen.
Amen.
And that opens up the way for the word of God. Hallelujah. The bread of life. The foundations of our faith, the ancient of days, which brings unto us wisdom, knowledge, and the revelations of things of our Father in heaven. And by the grace of God, we have a preacher in the house. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
We have a teacher in the house. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
And we have a great man of God. So with all due respect, I want us to be on our feet. I say, welcome the great man of God, my father, your father, Reverend Gilbert.
He is here.
Come on now.
He is here.
Our God is here right now.
He is here.
To break the yoke, to break the yoke.
To break the yoke and lift the heavy burden. And bless the broken.
He is here.
He is here.
Our God is here.
He is here.
To break the yoke.
To break the yoke. And lift the heavy burdens.
He is here.
He is here. Heart and bless the broken.
Lay down, come on.
Come and lay down the burdens you have carried. For in the sanctuary, God is here.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great love that you have loved us with, that we could be called the children of God, which indeed we are. Thank you for the privileges that come with that as children of God, that we have free access to you. We come together once again that you shall feed us your words of life, your words that feed our soul and keep us from starving and keep us on the path of life. We pray in the name of Jesus that you shall renew our vision and reignite our fire and our love for you, and that we would experience your presence, and that the devil will have no access to us, because we will be in your world as we carry out your agenda in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah and amen. Put your hands together unto the Lord and put your hands together for the melons. Hallelujah. So, I'm very proud of the melons and the work they are doing.
Amen.
Amen. That they force and force and force and make things happen. Last Friday, there was a gospel festival at the Toledo branch, and the melons made their presence felt. Hallelujah. You know, many of them arrived back in Columbus like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. when you were snoring. Amen. But they ministered very powerfully at the Toledo branch. Many other branches were there. But as the overseer of the region, I was proud that they were there and their music worked very powerfully. Hallelujah. So God is great. Powerful. So let's go into the scripture of the week. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Let's go again. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. Hallelujah. Jesus said that before he departed, but at the time of his departure, he said, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. That is also in Matthew 5:14. But light is a very mysterious concept. Light on earth comes from the sun. Hallelujah. Amen. And you need two things to be able to see. You need the light, and you also need good eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, when we went to the camp, one of the things Bishop said that intrigued me was how the sun is 8.3 light minutes away from the earth. Hallelujah. You see, your ability to see something is because the light from the sun is reflecting on it. Amen. Amen. And 8.3 minutes is how long it takes for the light from the sun to reach earth. Are you following? Am I losing somebody? So, when you are looking at the sun, what you are looking at is what it looked like 8.3 minutes ago. Because that is how long it took for the light to reach the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So think about it. If Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, that we need the light of God, who is Jesus, to be able to see. Now, without the light, people are in darkness. This reality must dawn on every believer. Hallelujah. Amen. If this reality does not dawn on you, that it will not matter to you when there are people who are unbelievers. The truth of the matter is that the world has a light that they walk in. Amen. Amen. There's a certain light the world is in. But by this definition, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. The opposite is also true. He that followeth me not is walking in darkness. So in spite of all the bright lights at Times Square, amen. Amen. In spite of all the advancement of society and technology, the world spiritually is in darkness. The world without Christ is in darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Which then makes the church very relevant. Are you with me? Yeah. Because without the church, there is no one who is going to broadcast the light. A lighthouse, our name lighthouse, if you know what a lighthouse is, what is a lighthouse in a, yes, Nathaniel. Amen. That's right. So back in those days where sea transportation was the main means of transportation, you know, the lighthouse is like a building with a tower, was the point of direction, hallelujah, for sailors so that you will not get lost at sea. Amen. Amen. And so in this church, we talk a lot about the work of God. We talk a lot about building the church. We talk a lot about doing our best for the Lord. I want you to see it as a great opportunity because, you see, God has destined for you to be in this church. And the reason why you are in this church is because there are certain messages and there are a certain course that God wants your life to take. Hallelujah. Amen. I ended up in this church through a mysterious means. Because that was not... When I was in Ghana, I visited Lighthouse before, but I wasn't a member. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, you know, in the context of Acts 17 and 26, let's look at Acts 17 and 26, that your life is being planned by God. Your life is not an accident. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, if you are a member of the church, you need to partake of the things we emphasize here so that it will be exactly in line with, are we looking for Acts chapter 17, verse 26? It says, and God had made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Is that true? Of course, it's the Bible. It must be true. But God has made of one blood. We all descended from Adam. Is that not so? Of all the nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And God has determined what? The times before appointed. God has determined the times before appointed. God has determined your time. How long you will live, God has determined it. Amen. Are you receiving the message? God has determined the times before appointed. God has determined how long you will live. God knows exactly what will happen. You know, that's why, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church, there's a prayer we used to pray. We used to pray Hail Mary. And one of the lines goes like, you know, pray for us sinners now and at the point of our death. Because you don't know the point of your death. Do you understand? You don't know where you will be. You don't know where your heart will be. But God has determined aforetime the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. There's two subjects we learned in high school that are in this verse. One of them is what? History. The time frame something is happening. Hallelujah. That is, God has appointed, God has determined the times before appointed. So that is time. That is history. Hallelujah. What's the other word that is in this verse? The other habitation, which is geography. Is that not so? So history and geography is in this verse. What am I saying that? It means that not only is your time on earth part of God's plan, but also where you live. How is it that you ended up in Columbus? How is it that I ended up meeting you? Hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell you is that your life is part of a great grand scheme of destiny. And you need to understand and embrace it. Hallelujah. When you find yourself somewhere, it's not by accident. Amen. It is part of God's plan. And so if you find yourself in Lighthouse, embrace it and receive the word that is coming. Don't say, when are they going to preach about my problem? Amen. See, when I'm preaching to counteract what some people are thinking. Because I'm also prophetic. Amen. Amen. And sometimes I can sense in the air what people are thinking. So I preach against that. A good preacher must preach against what people are thinking to correct the mind. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, those of you who went to high school or who are in high school here, there's something called American exceptionalism. Who knows what it means and who can explain it? American exceptionalism. Can you try? Okay, somebody give me a microphone. American exceptionalism. Say that to the best of your ability. Amen.
So, American exceptionalism is a theory that the actions that have been performed by Americans in the past, they're superior because Americans are known to have superior culture, superior government, superior identities, and so it justifies their actions across the world by saying that their forms of government and means will surpass and help civilize those around them. And so their actions that would be considered gruesome or like terror attacks by other countries are considered justifications and, you know, morally just.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, if you know the general feeling that Americans feel about themselves, they are very confident about who they are. Hallelujah. And you will see that the rest of the world tend to be angry that you people, you think you are better than us. So, to summarize what he said, American exceptionalism is the concept or a theory that says that we think we are a unique people placed in history at this point in time. And everything we do because we feel that we have a purpose, we have a destiny to play in the world. Have you heard the expression that why is America trying to play as the policeman of the world? Well, American exceptionalism is saying that, look, we feel we have been placed in history to do this. If we don't do this, no one else will do it. And we have a good mind about it. Hallelujah. So, I am introducing to you Lighthouse exceptionalism. And by that, I mean that we believe that in as much as different churches have different emphasis and different things they do, okay? We in Lighthouse must embrace the destiny placed on us in this time of history, in this era of Christianity, to pull together all the things that may have been forgotten in Christianity or may have been distorted in the preaching of the gospel for millennia. Hallelujah. That God is seeking us out, and he has found a people who have now seen that, look, to follow God and to be a believer, it's not just about getting things. Hallelujah. We are a priestly church. By that I mean, we are taking 1 Peter 2:9 very seriously. What does 1 Peter 2:9 say? You are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We are what? A holy nation. A people set apart. Amen. I want every Lighthouse member to be proud of who you are as a member of this church. Not pride in terms of arrogance, but in terms of appreciating where God has placed you in history. Amen. Now, Americans, if you think about the interventions of America, you can say all that you want to say about the extremities and the, atrocities and the things Americans have done. But then think about it very well, that this American experiment in government, amen, there's no other like that in history. Hallelujah. And you may say bad things about what America has done, but if you put all the things together, all the pluses and minuses together, think of even in terms of how they stood for Israel. When after 2,000 years, Israel became a nation, and the Arab nations were getting ready to swallow it up. Hallelujah. What I'm telling you is that I am trying to transport or bring back the notion that America is exceptional. Okay? You're in America, so you better understand and accept it. Don't be in America and be anti-American. Amen. But now understand that Lighthouse as a church, there are so many churches, but in as much as America sees itself that we are a unique nation with a unique purpose in history, I want you also to see the Lighthouse as a unique ministry with a unique purpose in history. So if you see yourself as unique, then you should stop trying to be somebody else. Amen. Are you listening to me? All this is by way of introduction. There's only 15 minutes more. But it is important that you know where you find yourself. Otherwise, you will be here, but your mind will always be somewhere else. It's like a brother who has married a wife, but his mind is always looking at another woman. Amen. You will not enjoy the marriage. Every good thing about your wife, you will not notice it. Are you there? Every good thing about your wife, you will not even notice it because your mind is always somewhere else. I want your mind and your heart to be here. And everything that we are doing, you must understand that the leadership of God and the Spirit of God is leading the leadership of the church, okay, in pointing us to a direction, which if you participate in it, therein lies your blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a prosperity scripture that Bishop talks about, Matthew 6:33. Let's look at that scripture. See, we are talking about mega church, but I feel that I need to emphasize why we talk about church and building the church a lot. Because often people find their lives far removed from talking about building the church a lot. If people find that, what is the connection? What is in it for me? Amen. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. This is the master prosperity scripture which we emphasize in this church. If you are a member of this church, if you are part of the Lighthouse exceptionalism, hallelujah. If you are part of the understanding that God has called us to a place in history. And you see, let me tell you one thing. God has given me a revelation and an understanding that Christianity is undergoing a reformation. If you know church history, there was a time, I believe in the 16th century, the church underwent a reformation. And the whole face of Christianity changed after the Reformation. You know, what are the names of the reformers? Martin Luther, John Calvin, who else? There were other people proud to Martin Luther, like John Huss. You know, some of the people who were burnt at the stake. Did you say Constantinople? Constantinople is a city. Constantine. Yes, it was named after Constantine. Hallelujah. So Constantine is like about 1,000 years and over before the Reformation. But it was a type of Reformation because he embraced Christianity. And then after Constantine, the church underwent what they call the Dark Ages. Is somebody like having a church history lesson this morning? You see, there is something called perspective, right? When you don't have the right perspective, you look at things the wrong way. Amen. So I'm trying to paint the perspectives that now we had the Reformation, and then the Roman Catholic Church had what they call the Counter-Reformation, because they realized that people are breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church. So we need to counteract it with another thing. Hallelujah. So after the Counter-Reformation, then the church went through various stages. Now today in our world, and I've been formerly a Catholic, what I noticed at some point was that the things that people were criticizing the Roman Catholic Church for, okay, the Protestant churches have started doing the same thing. For instance, people were criticizing the Roman Catholic Church for selling salvation for money. Are you there? Like, if you have committed sins, you know, you have to pay money as for penance. Amen. Which was one of the reasons why Martin Luther stood up. He discovered the scripture that said the just shall live by faith. And around the time of the Reformation was also the printing press was invented, which then facilitated the printing of tracts for the new thinking that came into Christianity. And look, it is not like if your relative has died and has gone to purgatory, amen, now you can pay money to speed up their exit from purgatory to heaven. All those things are bogus things invented by people to get money from people. Amen. Now, I'm saying this because today as we speak, nowadays, it's even hard to watch Christian television. Sometimes what you see on television is not Christianity. Because the gospel, instead of preaching the salvation of souls and preaching against sin and preaching for Jesus Christ came to look for and to save that which was lost, has been changed into something about you give money and then you get money back. That is a side benefit of the gospel, but it's not the main gospel. Amen. Are you listening to me? The message has been corrupted. Amen. Amen. So I'm saying that Christianity is going through a reformation. A reformation in terms of rediscovering the root of the true gospel. That God sent his son to come to the earth to save us, to die for us, to preach the way of righteousness and to die for us. Now, people have added many things that the main thing is no longer the main thing. But I'm saying that God has raised Bishop Dr. Heward Mills as one of the reformers in this age to bring us back to rediscover what Christianity is about. It's about the preaching against sin and deliverance that comes from sin through the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's about people who have lost their way and are distressed in life because they are walking in darkness and there's no light in them. And the light of God is the word of God. He says that in the beginning was the word, and he said that, and then what? The light shined in the darkness. Are you listening to me? This is the mainstay of the church. This is the main purpose of the church. And what is then? How are the other things other people are emphasizing going to get to us? If we truly seek the kingdom of God first, if we receive, this is our scripture, this is our prosperity key. If we make the work of God our main thing, God is going to see to it that he will prosper us. And if you are part of this church, believe it. Because some other church, the means God is going to prosper them may be another way. Hallelujah. But if you are here, understand that we are here to do God's will. We are here to pursue his agenda and his purpose. Hallelujah. And let's look at this scripture from Ezra. Ezra chapter 6. And verse 13. Ezra chapter 6, verse 13. Then Tatenai, governor of the region beyond the river, Shetaz Boznai, and their companions diligently did according to what King Darius had sent. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be part of the reformation? To be part of what new thing God is doing in the earth? Are you excited to be part of a church that emphasizes the scriptures, the Bible, the blood of Christ, the name of Jesus? All the other things we are seeking for will be added to us if we pay attention to what the prophet is telling us. Hallelujah. Verse 14. So the elders of the Jews built and they prospered. Listen to me. They prospered through the prophesying of who? Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Hallelujah. It said that the people of God prospered through what? The prophesying of who? Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. Amen. You see, your prosperity, your wellness, your glorification, your emancipation, your promotion, your doing well, it is linked to the preachings and the prophecies that you hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet. So if a prophetic word comes and you ignore it, which word was the key to your prosperity? Don't you think you are hurting your own self? Amen. We want you to come. Bishop read a scripture from Haggai chapter 1 as an example of the prophesying of Haggai. Let's look at Haggai chapter 1. They prospered through the prophesying of Haggai. What did Haggai prophesy about? Let's go to Haggai chapter 1. Okay. Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. Hallelujah. The son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. You see, what is happening today in Christianity happened during the time of Israel. Hallelujah. This is after the exile, after they have gone to exile. And God has made a way that, look, you can go back and rebuild the city, rebuild the house of the Lord. And everybody is paying attention to their own problems. I mean, how many here have some problems that you are concerned about? If you don't lift your hand, we will let you lay hands on the rest of us. Because you must know some secrets that we don't know. Amen. We all have issues and problems. Amen. Which we are battling with. And these issues and problems have consumed us, overwhelmed us. Hallelujah. The Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Our problems are coming from the region of darkness, but what we need is enter into the light of God, which will then overcome the problems. Hallelujah. He said, the people are saying, what are the people saying at the time of Haggai? It is not time to do what? That the Lord's house should be built. That's the apathetic mindset of most Christians today. Everybody is running to one conference to another to get a prophetic word. How your poor grandmother in the village is the cause of all your problems. Meanwhile, you are a very beastly person. Every place you work, you only last for 6 months and you are fired. Because you don't know how to comport yourself. And you are blaming the poor grandmother somewhere. You have not found anybody to tell you the truth, but I'm here to tell you that maybe the problem is you. Amen. And you need the light of God to say, look, you need to shape up. Amen. You need to shape up. Sometimes people love people to just praise them all the time. I'm not here to praise you. I'm here to tell you that line up your way of life to the word of God. Amen. When you line yourself up with the word of God, a light enters you and it dissipates darkness. It disperses darkness. Amen. That is our agenda and that is our rule. Next verse. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O you that dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie waste? This is what we call an indictment. Amen. An indictment. When you go to court, last week I was in court. No, I wasn't on trial, but I was there for another purpose. Amen. Like they would describe what the person has done. Now the Lord is bringing an indictment. He said that is it time for you, or you that dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Which house is lying waste? The Lord's house. Is it time for you to dwell in your own house? Because in this scenario, they were building a physical house. But now, today, we are building a spiritual house, which is made up of human beings. Each one of us is a stone in the house of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways mean what? Check your life. Look at yourself critically. Hallelujah. Everybody is busy, and I don't mean just Columbus Church. I'm talking about Christianity in general. That is the mindset of getting things. It's like there's some things we need where God is the answer. We heard the song, Jesus is the answer. So that's but the first answer that the world needs is the forgiveness of sins for us to have peace with God. That answer, that problem has not been addressed. Rather, we are thinking of Jesus as the answer to every other problem. Hallelujah. Consider your ways. It means check yourself. It's like you are going to propose to a certain sister. And then the sister laughs with her friends. And it's like he should check himself. It's like you, nah, look at you coming to propose to me. It's like if you check yourself, you wouldn't have come forward. Amen. Check yourself. Consider your ways. Like, do you think I am your type? Yes, you are not my type. Do you understand? Consider your ways. That's what the scripture means. That, look, we want to prosper in our ways, but we are neglecting the house of the Lord and it's lying waste. And the prophet is prophesying. The purpose of a prophetic word is not to condemn people, but for us to change our ways. Because after Haggai prophesied the scripture, then what was we read about in Ezra came to pass. That they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai. How many here want to prosper? If you want to prosper, then we must hear the prophesying of Haggai, what Haggai told the people. Next verse. You have brought yourself to church today. You are not going home. I'm telling you. You have sown much. Listen to this. Is that consider your ways? Think deeply about what is going on. Consider your ways. That think deeply about what is going on. Like I said, that the brother didn't think deeply about himself. And he saw this flashy, nice sister. He think that he can go forward. No. There may be some things you need to change. Maybe your dressing, you need to change your dressing small. You have sown much. You have sown much and bring in little. Hallelujah. The scripture is coming squarely at us, especially those of us in America. Think about it very carefully. When you got the American visa and you were coming, it was like, all your problems in the world have been solved. Me, when I got the visa, I was with my cousin at the embassy. And there was somebody sitting next to me who we were all waiting to be called for the interview. Do you understand? And then I was called and I got it. When I brought it, my visa, my cousin was sitting there. And then the guy said, can I look at it? And I was about to open my passport and show my cousin. No, don't show it to him. Don't show it to him. This is precious. Kofi, this is very precious. Let's go. He may snatch it and run away. This is your life, my friend. Don't show it to him. Amen. This is how big the visa was. Do you understand? Amen. Hallelujah. But when you arrive, you realize that things have turned upside down. It is not what you thought. You have won so much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. Is it describing somebody in America today? You eat, and you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Eh? There seems to be something pushing us. Like, there is no satisfaction. There's no enjoyment. It's like, but meanwhile, there are 25 million people Or Nigeria, what's the population? 150 million? Probably 200 million people or 150 million people at Abuja or Lagos. Or 25 million people in Ghana wishing to be where you are. And when you explain to them that things are hard, they don't understand. They don't understand. And the thing is that you also cannot take a picture of your bank account and test it to them. Do you understand? It will be some way. Amen. So things are not what they seem. You are drinking, you are not full, you are eating, you are not, you clothe you, but there's no one warm. And he that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. That seems to be what has happened. This scripture is describing our life in America very, very practically. That we keep going and coming and going and coming, not even finding enough sleep. But we don't have anything to show for it. Amen. It's like there are holes in our backs. Next verse. That said the Lord of hosts. He said, check yourself again. Consider your ways. Consider, look at yourself. Look at the objective evidence. You see, in court, there are some evidence that is clear. It's like not every evidence can be. If the evidence is clear, it's clear. You can look at what is happening and say, there must be something wrong. Hallelujah. Bishop Adekam says, some people, he said, in society, many few people think deeply about things. But because what is happening is that we have become part of the crowd. And just going and coming. And going and coming. Like children who are playing in the playground, not stopping to think, what does it take or what is going on? But God is bringing light and understanding to us that we need to stop and consider there might be something we may be missing. Hallelujah. You see, people are looking for shortcuts to do things. God is saying that if we don't consider our ways, the description in these verses is what it's going to be. When you consider the way something is being done and you discover that something that ought to have been done has not been done, then you go back and fix it and then you'll be on the right track. Amen. One time, my wife and I were trying to fix computer desk. Okay. And you know how it comes with a manual. You know, it's one of those that you have to fix it yourself. And it comes with the manual. But the instructions are a lot. So one of the two of us, I wouldn't say which one. So you know what? I can look at the diagram. You can see that this one goes here, this one goes here, this screw goes here. We don't need to go through all these 1,001 steps. Let's try and just visual. Didn't you learn visualization in school? Visualize the thing and just fix the thing. So, the other person followed the advice of the other person. And then we built the thing up to a place. Then we realized that, and you know how some of those parts that they give you, sometimes it's three, sometimes it's four, like the parts. You realize that you have used only two. Now, these other two, were they extra parts they gave just in case something goes wrong? And so, as we were building along, we noticed that two are left. Now, these two, where does it go? We got to a place and realized that those two needed to be put somewhere long before we got to this stage. And Sister Rosemary, unfortunately, we had to dismantle the whole thing and start from the scratch. And this time, go by the book. Word by word, line by line, precept upon precept. Because there are no shortcuts to some of these things. Hallelujah. Amen. What is the next verse? Yes, consider your ways. Then go up to the mountain. So you see, God does not call us to condemn us. Look at the scriptures. You look at the Old Testament scriptures, where the most grotesque, gross judgments were pronounced. I mean, some of them, when you read it, it's like your blood ripples. Why is the God Almighty saying this is about his own children? But there is always a redemptive clause or a redemptive verse somewhere in the passage that tells you that the all is not lost. God is only describing it in as much detail, grotesque, gross details, so that there will be a way out. So now he's giving you the solution. Go out to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, said the Lord. Hallelujah. Go up to the mountain. bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. You haven't done it in the past, but it's not too late. You can still go to the mountain and bring wood. The time has come for us to now no longer be only concerned about our own. And you see, in this Lighthouse Chapel, if there is a church that is concerned about people's private things, what is going on in people's private, we don't just talk about the work of God and we are not interested in what is happening in your life. Are you listening to me? I mean, if we are doing the work of God well, we will even get closer to each other. Amen. Because when you suffer with somebody, there's a certain closeness it brings. In this process of building the work of God, if we will all put our hands to the plow and begin to work very closely, that is when I might discover some things about you which you may be shy to tell me. Amen. Because a lot of people don't tell the pastor what's going on. People paint perfect pictures. Everything is nice. You know, the wife and the husband are wearing blue. Blue is like, but meanwhile, in the house, they don't talk. What I'm saying is that if we all put our hands together to the plan and work for the Lord, because we are working together, some things which you may not be able to, I will discover it. Somebody will discover it. Because as we work for, and then there will be a solution. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's all go back. It says, brother, check yourself. Consider your ways. You might need to improve your English a little bit. You know, there was a brother who wanted to propose to a sister as I'm winding down. And you see, sometimes the criteria is way off. Sometimes the criteria is not even a good criteria. The brother was a very solid brother with a future. But the sister's friends said that when this brother went to during holidays, when he was coming back, he made the mistake of bringing yam and plantain to the sister. Because he lived in the place where they do, those are the things that he brought. And the sister's friend said, you know, I don't think this is a good brother because his father is a farmer somewhere. That one is a bogus. That's a bogus reason. But sometimes there's a legitimate reason why the sister will bounce the brother. Because he has not considered his ways. Now, God is telling us that we should reconsider our ways. How much of our time have we thought about the church of God and the work of God? Sometimes during the week, somebody will call me. So, Pastor, on Sunday we are going to have this. Like, we're going to have a Christmas convention. And somebody called me and said, you know, how about we do this and this and that? It was very refreshing. That somebody in the middle of the week is thinking about the church and how best we could do things. Amen. Amen. God is giving us a second chance. Amen. That if we go back and get timber, and we go back and get wood, we go back and begin to do the things that we would do to build the house of God, then Matthew 6:33 will begin to come to pass in our lives. Put your hands together unto the Lord. We will continue with mega church next week. Stand up to your feet. Commit yourself to God. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to deliver you from being overwhelmed. Amen. You know the song we sang the other time, I will not be overwhelmed. You can easily become overwhelmed. And when you get overwhelmed, you can't think straight. Pray to God to lift up your burdens. Because our God is a real God. You see, one of the things I want to encourage is testimonies. Amen. Testimonies. We need to have more testimonies. Every Sunday, there has to be a testimony that someone is sharing. It cannot be that we are here, that God is not doing things in our lives. Amen. Commit yourself to God to lift up the burdens and the things that make us anxious. Thank you, Jesus.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from.
Consider your ways. Consider your heart. Tell the Lord to give you grace. Tell the Lord.
God, I look to you.
If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, please do so now. In your heart. Blessed be the Lord.
Give me wisdom to see things like you
Blessed
do.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Yeah.
If you are here, you are not born again. You really don't know where you are spiritually. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Lift up your right hand. Or if you are here, you've fallen away from the Lord. You know very well that you are not practicing the Christianity that you know you need to practice. God reveals to redeem. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Come to the foot of the cross. If you are that person, lift up your hand.
My strength.
Oh, Jesus.
I will love you, Lord, my shield.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever all my days, I will love you.
Hallelujah. Pray after me. Thank you, my God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your son dying on the cross for me. I give you my life. I ask that Jesus lives in me. I believe he died for my sins, and he was raised from the dead for my justification. I want to live for you. As a witness about the goodness of God and the resurrection of Christ, give me your grace today and always. In Jesus' name, amen.